Good evening, dear friends. Welcome to our Open Way Tuesday Night Sangha talks. We have a talk on the first Tuesday of each month, so today is September 5th, 2023. And this topic of re-engagement and reconnection was very alive for me a lot of the time, partly because I think, like a lot of us, we have very full schedules, or we are encountering a lot of really difficult information, whether it's information we seek out, information that comes to us through news feeds, or just information in our daily lives, people we care about, people that are close to us might be going through difficulties. And for me, what happens when all of those things are going on at once, so I'm engaging with news feeds or reading about this crisis or that difficulty, or when I am having trouble at home, or when I just am doing a lot, I have a tendency to start to shut down a little bit, start to withdraw, disengage, disconnect. I might be talking to you, and I might be present, but there's a part of me that's kind of withholding a little bit. I'm drawing inward. And that can happen kind of out of the blue. I might start to become aware of it. And I'm sure all of us have had that experience before. That kind of disengagement and disconnection comes with when we experience a difficulty, trauma or grief or sadness. It's a way of our body and mind to protect itself from pain. And I don't think it's a necessarily bad thing. This summer, maybe in mid-July, I noticed, it's like, ooh, I'm not really as present as I want to be, or as I'm used to being. I'm just going to become aware of that a little bit. And when I say not present, I really do mean it. I feel like there's a little part of me that's withheld. Like the heart isn't open. My heart feels a little closed. And I just watched it for a little while. Just watched that disengagement, that disconnection. Kind of went through the day, continued to visit with people in the hospital, to visit with friends, to engage with my family, with the kids. But as that went on, as that disengagement went on, I started to become just a little more attending to that state. It had gone on for a week or two, and fortunately we went on vacation, and that really helped, kind of cleared the plate. Visited with my family in North Carolina and kind of stood in the 84 degree ocean water, and that pretty much lifted that feeling of disengagement. It's actually a really wonderful experience, very metaphoric, of course, when we play in just that little, 15 feet of the ocean, that you can touch the ground beneath you, and just imagining the vastness that was out there. And it's like, oh, okay, I've just been kind of dancing around the surface here of life. I've just been standing just a little bit in that part. And what happened when it lifted was there was a feeling of kind of vitality, like a feeling of of wanting to go out, of feeling my heart open to pain, to joy, to love, to sadness, to all of those things. It's like I started to be able to feel again. And so I was looking back at some of the sutras, some of the Buddha's teachings, and he really gives us a roadmap for how to come out of that disengagement pretty clearly. And one of the things that grabbed my attention, this was in reflection afterwards, it's like, you know, this is going to happen again. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. What do we do with it? And there is something to be said of just letting it be for a little while. Just actually exploring that space can be very fruitful. But if it hangs around for too long, it starts to become habit energy. It starts to become a way of being. And one of the very basic sutras, fundamental to our tradition, is the Discourse on the Full Awareness of Breathing, and its companion sutra, the Four Establishments of Mindfulness, talks about really settling into the body, into the breath, into our experience of our feeling and thinking and our consciousness. And at the end of each of those sutras, they talk about the seven factors of awakening. And that's what really jumped out at me. And I'd like to share a little bit with how those factors, when they're alive in us, can help move from disengagement and back into engagement, away from disconnection, but into reconnection. The first factor is mindfulness. It's pretty fundamental to our tradition. And it's that awareness that putting our awareness where we want it to go. So one of the things when we are disengaged, our attention kind of wanders a little bit. It doesn't necessarily go where we want it to go. It might latch onto this thing or that thing. It might grab onto a news story and just go all the way there, and takes us away from being in the body. Mindfulness also has that component, so we putting our attention where we want it to go, but also has that component of curiosity, of warmth, of really wrapping the arms of our attention, of our awareness, around whatever it is we're engaging with, and whatever we're choosing to engage with. And that leads right into the second factor of awakening, which is the investigation of, well, it's investigation of dharmas, so small d dharmas, meaning things around us, experience. It can also be investigation into capital D Dharma, that is the teachings of the Buddha. But that curiosity brings about this desire, this impulse to want to learn more about whatever it is we're experiencing. That is a little difficult for me because one of my safe spaces is up in my head, intellectualizing or thinking about it that way. So I always have to be careful that first it's grounded in mindfulness, grounded in awareness of what's happening. But the investigation doesn't necessarily have to be cognitive. It can be a focus or a deep connection to something. So every last or fourth Tuesday of the month here, we have a tea ceremony. And part of that tea ceremony is to really be with the tea and the cookie or whatever else we're sharing. And that really is kind of watering that second factor of awakening. It's watering that investigation, that curiosity. We give some instruction about consider where it came from, but usually what happens is, you know, we get tired of considering it up here, and then we're just with it. and we're really investigating it and curious about it. But also, we can turn to study. We can pick up a Dharma book and just read a little bit. I think of the statue that Keith donated to us of Manjushri in the small room. If you've seen that statue, he's holding a sword above his head, because that's the bodhisattva of great understanding. And he wields that sword of his intellect to cut through misconception, misunderstanding, and gets to the truth. So I'm always heartened that we have a bodhisattva, a guide that shows us that it's okay to engage your mind, to engage your mind to go very deeply into that study. But he did it, of course, with the purpose of awakening, with the purpose of ending suffering, not just to gain knowledge, not at all, but to really understand the world, to understand suffering and the way out. And so as we investigate that Dharma, that second factor of awakening, the third factor arises in us, and that's energy. Usually when I'm disengaged, when you feel disconnected, you also kind of feel low energy, a little flat. It's like your heart withdraws, but also your energy kind of draws inward, and you just want to sit. But not sit like we did tonight. Sit and just be there, be a lump. Which, again, not always a bad practice. But it's not a place you want to stay. But I find that after a Sangha night, after we spend our time together cultivating mindfulness and looking deeply together, I feel really energized. I have a hard time getting to sleep. It's not because I haven't had a long day, or it's not because I wasn't tired, but I feel really invigorated. And it's not a wild energy either. It's just a vital energy. And so that third factor of awakening starts to come alive inside of us. And often when we feel energized, when we're investigating, when we're looking deeply, when we're mindful, a feeling of joy can emerge, which is the fourth factor of awakening. And joy, in our tradition, sometimes is described as, there's a way of looking at happiness and joy. Happiness is like when you're walking through the desert and you come across an oasis and you see it. And you feel very happy because soon you will have water. And then joy is described as when you tip the cup into the water and drink it. And that feeling of contentment. So it's not the kind of joy of an over-the-top celebration, but a quiet, steady, bright, solid joy. It's actually the feeling that I had after standing waist deep in the ocean for a while. And very, very refreshing and lovely, and watching my children bob up and down, and one of them over here, the other one on a boogie board behind me, and and so as that that joy emerges, that quiet, bright feeling of joy. And the fifth factor of awakening can start to take root, and that's relaxation. It's like, you know, when you drink that water, when you feel that joy, your shoulders let down, you're just, oh, here I am. And you can just settle into, relax, feel tranquil. And I love the way that these first five factors of awakening come to be, because there has to be energy and relaxation. So when we sit in meditation, And we're sitting upright, but relaxed. We're alert, but engaged. So we're really practicing these factors of awakening just by sitting in meditation together, bringing about that that relaxation into our body, but also into our mind. One of the things I observed with that disengagement or disconnection is my mind was not settled. It was very kind of ephemeral. It would just, thoughts would come up and go away, and it would chase over here into that thing, chase over there into that. It wasn't settled at all. It wasn't loud, because that's one of the signs for me of disconnection, is things feel very quiet, but more of a numb quiet, not necessarily a settled quiet. So the thoughts weren't loud, but they were not at all relaxed. There was a tension to them. So that relaxation that comes with that fifth factor of awakening is not just a relaxation of the body, but that relaxation of the mind. And that relaxation of the mind, part of that means it's not clinging tightly to something, and it's not pushing something away. So a difficult thought arises and we want to push it away, or a pleasant thought arises and we want to grab onto it. So it's doing neither of those, but just kind of opening the hands of our mind so that whatever comes into our awareness can be there. I think of it sometimes, well, maybe this was from being at the beach, but pouring sand on your hand. And it's like if your hand is closed and you try to grab onto it, the sand just kind of, you know, falls out. You can't really experience it. And if you try and push it away, it ends up usually blown back in your face. But if you just have your hand open, it just makes contact and then keeps going. Just contact and flows out. And you can enjoy watching that. That's a relaxed mind, a relaxed awareness. And the sixth factor of awakening is concentration. And that comes about when we have a relaxed body, a relaxed mind, we can really stay with something, really put our awareness there and let it be there. So it's a very different kind of concentration than the, you know, the scrunched face and the, I'm going to think about this one thing for a long time, or I'm going to do this one thing. It's not that kind of concentration. It's rather a wide open awareness, a wide open field of concentration. Concentration here is really letting our mind, our awareness, our body to just be where we put it. And I say our body because sometimes we put our body somewhere and it's like fidgeting off somewhere else, but we put our body somewhere and it stays there. We put our mind and it stays there. It's like in the guided meditation, it's that image of a heavy gemstone on a tabletop. We just put it there and we leave it there. And it just sits. We don't have to do anything else. We just put it where it wants to go. And that's why sometimes someone comes by and bumps the table and it rolls off and you just pick it up and you put it back. It's that kind of concentration. And finally, that opens up the seventh factor of awakening, which is equanimity. Equanimity is the ability to just accept whatever is there. To just allow whatever enters into our awareness to just be in our awareness and to keep moving. That feeling of disconnection that comes about in us, has some close analogs of some of those factors of awakening. I'm sure you may have noticed that equanimity might be mistaken for numbness, or numbness might be mistaken for equanimity. It's very important that just because we don't have a reaction to something doesn't mean necessarily that we are cultivating equanimity. It might mean because we're numbed out, because we're not able to feel whatever it is. So we might read or hear of or be with a friend or a family member that's going through difficulty and suffering, and it might not have an effect inside of us. It's important to check, is that equanimity or is that numbness? The Buddha teaches about things like equanimity and mindfulness, concentration, all of these things. But I wonder sometimes if he dwelt all the time in equanimity, or what I suspect happens is that the feelings arise, the painful feelings arise, and he lets them go. That's the equanimity. It's not that we stop feeling, it's rather that we stop grabbing onto or attaching ourselves to the feeling so that it can move. This serves me a lot in work. I work in the hospital and often come into some pretty difficult situations. And I can tell when I'm feeling that disconnection, because outwardly I might appear at ease, but inwardly I'm not feeling anything. But when I'm feeling very connected, I can experience difficulty with a person. And then let it go and let it keep moving. And all of those factors together, when they're present, that's when we start awakening. That's when we start moving from disengagement into engagement. So when we're mindful and curious and investigating, applying ourselves to something, and we feel more energy and joy as we do that, and our mind and body relax. Our concentration is present, and we're not as ruffled by the things that go on around us. We still feel them, but they just enter into our awareness and then keep moving. It's a very powerful, powerful practice. And the nice thing about it is I kind of described it in this linear fashion, but really you can enter into it at any place. Sometimes you can cultivate a feeling of joy, and that kind of cascades downward and forward, so it can bring about those all of those feelings. We went to Silverwood theme park, which is a roller coasters and water park in northern Idaho, and we went on Saturday. And I usually really dislike those kinds of things. They're loud and crowded. But it was really a joyful event. The kids were happy. I was happy. I could ride on roller coasters. I thought that my inner ears couldn't take it anymore, but they could. I was really, really surprised. I actually enjoyed being upside down. Not for long, but the interesting thing was that there really was that joy and energy. But I noticed that as that joy and energy came about, I really felt more present. I felt more mindful and aware and really concentrated, and things that normally bother me, like the kids fighting with each other. Didn't really, I mean, I felt it and it went away. It was really an interesting experience. I was like, holy cow, who knew that this Northern Idaho theme park might have the seven factors of awakening present in them? wasn't one of the rides, but maybe it should be. So I think it's important to take care of ourselves, to notice when that disengagement and disconnection arises. There's probably a reason that it's arisen. Could be any number of things. Some things we can control, like we can stop reading the news or stop seeking that out. Some things we can't control. We can't control when our loved ones are ill or suffering around us. And when we have that feeling arise, after we live with it for a little while, after we engage with it, it can be helpful to start looking at those other places to try to re-engage and reconnect by really cultivating mindfulness and starting that investigation. Sometimes the thing that we're investigating isn't something we want to look at. It's too painful. I had a friend who described it as like staring at the sun. It's like something you can do for a moment or two, but you don't want to do it too long because it causes damage. But in that moment, you can generate some curiosity about it before you move on to something else. And once that investigation starts, those other factors often will come alive. Because really, reconnection and re-engagement is about fully being alive with everything that arises, with the pain, the beauty, the love, the sadness, the joy, the stress, all of it. And applying those seven factors of awakening to those experiences can really open up for us really what we're called to do by being here, which is just to be here, to be awake, to be alert, to keep moving together. Nice thing about coming to Sangha is that if you're feeling disconnected, maybe the person sitting next to you is feeling engaged, and that person can do it for you. That person can engage for you, and you can be carried by that person. It's important to remember that we're not alone. We have our Sangha here. We also have our Sangha outside of Tuesday. If you ever need them, you can send an email, and people will find you if you would like, if you want to be found, if you want to be present with a person. One of the ways that I worked with my disconnection was to name it to some trusted friends, to be like, hey, this is just my experience I'm feeling. Just want to put it out there. And it wasn't pushed away or rejected. They didn't try and talk me out of it and say, oh, you just need to do the seven factors of awakening. Everything will be fine. But rather, they listened, and that helps quite a bit. Because then you're starting to engage together. So my hope for all of us is that when those experiences of that numbness or disengagement arises, that we can keep showing up here, showing up to life, and watching the things that are unfolding around us unfold all of the time. There really is a wondrous show going on inside and around us. Sometimes it's horrible to look at, sometimes it's beautiful, but it's what we have. It's like we don't get another moment. We just get this one. And so when something comes up, we just wrap our arms of awareness around it and love whatever it is, even if it's ugly. even if it's beautiful.